I've now done 41 of the 58 legs. I've walked about 2,045 miles, which, to put that into some sort of context, I think is the equivalent of walking across Australia. It's Perth to Sydney, which is a reasonable trip. Someone said, therefore, well, if you've only got 1,000 miles left, you must be feeling as if you're coming to the home straight. I said, I'm not really sure that 1,000 miles could be defined as a home straight in anybody's language, but we are getting there.
How have you been getting on with the weather recently, Richard? It's been absolutely awful out there.
It has been pretty brutal, but unbelievably, I've been incredibly lucky. The only leg where I had really quite a hard time from the weather was on the leg from Wetherby to Aintree, where I did get A, quite a lot of rain, B, quite a lot of fog, a lot of wind, and that was a very tough leg over the top of the Pennines, very up and down. Top of the moors were, you know, pretty boggy, pretty heathery, and that was very hard work. But generally, I seem to have dodged the rain practically wherever I've gone. I mean, last weekend, when everywhere seemed to get completely deluged, I walked the 56 miles from Bangor-on-Dee to Wolverhampton, and I think I had about an hour's rain on the Saturday morning, and that was it out of 2.5 days of walking. So I've been unbelievably lucky with the weather.
You're coming into that part of the year where it's going to be some questionable weather coming around. It's going to get cold, we're going to get some snow, we're going to get some ice. Are there any particular legs over this next 17 that you've got to go that you're a little bit fearful of?
Yes. there's a leg I'm doing in early February from Ludlow in Shropshire to Fos Las in deepest, darkest southwest Wales.
Wow.
Which goes straight over the top of the Brecon Beacons. And I think, I mean, any time of year can be pretty inhospitable up on top of the Brecon Beacons, but yeah. February certainly can be. But fortunately, I've got quite a lot. I appear to have quite a lot of old mates who've done their service time in the army, who are getting all quite romantic and all a bit sort of funny about the idea of, oh, it'd be so nice to go back to the Brecon Beacons. I've been back there for so long. I'm going to come and do a day with you. So I'm definitely not going to be on my own. That's the main thing. But yeah, that one since the start, that's been the one leg which every time I look at the itinerary, a bit of a shiver goes down my spine when I look at it. But when I get past that one, I will start to feel as if the home straight is in sight.
What's been your highlight of the, expedition so far?
I think scenically, unquestionably, the highlight was the leg from Cartmel to Carlisle up through the Lake District. We had the most incredible weather up there and an amazing route. I've been so lucky. All my routes have been planned by a wonderful man of Yorkshire called John Sparshat, who was the chairman of the Long Distance Walkers Association, and he has basically routed every single one of my legs and has done the most incredible job. And we walked, you know, along Langdale, up Snake Pass, which is right next to Scarfell Pike, and then down the whole length of Borrowdale.
Wow.
I mean, it was just breathtaking. That's been a real highlight. I mean, there've been so many. You know, we were at Aintree almost a fortnight ago to launch this charity single. That was fantastic. I arrived in pouring rain down by the canal turn, and the wonderful Alicia Lowes, who is performing this extraordinary anthem for us, was doing a sound check up in the Unsadney enclosure where she sang it, and we could hear the sound check down at the canal turn. That was a great moment to hear her incredible voice singing "You'll Never Walk Alone" as I arrived at the canal turn, wet and feeling a bit cold and miserable. That was another real highlight. I mean, there have been so many. It's been the most incredibly enjoyable, exhilarating, uplifting experience, and continues to be. You know, and today we're driving back up to Lancashire. I'm walking from Aintree to Haydock. Start tomorrow, finish on Saturday for Betfair Chase Day, which will be wonderful. Another fantastic meeting and another race course, I'm sure, who will, you know, break their backs to give us a fantastic day. So there have been too many highlights to pick one out, but it's been brilliant.
You're raising a ton of money at the moment for Pancreatic Cancer UK and Racing Welfare. What's your total race so far? What's your target now?
Well, it's just taken a bit of a jump, actually. We had a reception last night at an art gallery in London. Jamie Osborne's wife, Katie O'Sullivan, who is the most wonderful artist, has just opened her first exhibition in 4 years, and they very kindly, the gallery very kindly, hosted an evening for us, and Katie very kindly donated a picture which was auctioned. So we raised a ton of money last night, so thank you to the Osborne Studio Gallery and thank you to Katie O'Sullivan. I think with that money, plus what, assuming, there are a fair few people out there, old mates of mine, who said, listen, your track record of of walking anywhere isn't particularly good. Do you mind if I give you the money at the end rather than the beginning? Because I'd rather see the evidence of you doing it. That's fine. So I think with pledges that we know are coming, I think we're just over £250,000. So
wow,
we're really getting there. It's starting to pick up momentum. And, you know, the great thing is the racing industry is a wonderfully caring and kind industry. And having been hit pretty brutally by pancreatic cancer, and obviously, you know, racing has a massive vested interest in racing welfare because it does such great work for the, you know, 45,000 people who work in the industry. I think, you know, racing is really, really picking up on it now. And I'm seeing terrific support, not just, you know, sort of emotionally and, you know, people coming to walk with me and whatever, but also starting to see it financially, which is terrific. I'm absolutely thrilled to bits.
So tell us how this charity single came about then, Richard.
Well, it was one of those extraordinary, bizarre coincidences. Alicia is a friend of my daughter, Minty, who's been my absolute rock and strength and organiser of the entire project. She's really the boss. I walk and I talk and she does everything else. She's done an amazing job. But Alicia is a great mate of hers. And just before Christmas last year, we went to a charity Christmas concert in a church in central London. And Alicia was performing. And in the midst of all this wonderful sort of Christmas-orientated music, she suddenly burst into this incredible rendition of You'll Never Walk Alone. And my first thought when she sang that was, what a bizarre thing to be singing at Christmas. And my second thought, which came very quickly afterwards, was, well, I mean, this is just ridiculous. Here is a girl with an incredible voice who's, you know, looking to get a first, you know, jump up onto the ladder of performing. And, you know, she's trained with Catherine Jenkins for the last couple of years. She's sung at some very, very high-profile charity events. And suddenly she's singing something that resonates so massively with what I'm doing. And the lyrics are, you know, I mean, they could frankly almost have been written all those years ago by Rodgers and Hammerstein for my project. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be lovely if we, you know, managed to persuade Alicia to record it for us and get a really fantastic orchestration of it and backing vocals. So we managed to get Alicia into a studio with the Urban Soul Orchestra, who've done loads of work with Annie Lennox and are absolutely brilliant, and backing vocalist called Incognito Artists. And we produced this version of You'll Never Walk Alone. And having done it, we thought, well, you know, there's no point launching it too early. We'll need to find the right moment. And the right moment very rapidly struck us as obviously being in the when we were at Aintree for our meeting there, which was sort of 12 days ago. So, you know, we launched it simultaneously by singing it. I didn't sing it, I'm pleased to say. Alicia sang it in the exposure at Aintree. You know, at the same moment, it became downloadable from iTunes and all the Amazon and all the usual places where you would download these tracks. Yeah, it's fantastic. And I mean, people at Aintree were absolutely blown away by it. And the messages we've had since from people saying, you know, it was incredible. And, you know, it's a real spine tingler. And so, yeah, it's now available for download. You know, we'd love as many people as possible to download it. The proceeds all go to these two wonderful charities. I think it will be a great addition to anybody's playlist. On a day when your life's not going quite as well as you think it ought to be, to listen to that, it's very hard not to feel uplifted and inspired when you've listened to it.
Well, let's have a listen to it then. It's Alicia Lowe's You'll Never Walk Alone. Richard, we'll catch up with you again very shortly, I'm sure. Good luck with the rest of the walk, and good luck with the charity single, as you say. It's available right now. Richard, thanks very much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Darren. Great to talk to you, and probably talk to you when I'm doing my final leg in Yorkshire from Ripon to Wetherby on Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th of January.
That sounds perfect. I think we're going to have to get up there, Bill, and have a little walk.
Yeah, sounds like a nice neck of the woods.
A New Year walk. Thanks very much, Richard. We'll catch you again soon.
Brilliant. Thanks so much.
Your head up high and at the end.